So we're going to start today off with a little game. We did this game in youth a few weeks ago. And we're going to be taking a look at some Christmas trees on the screen. And we're going to decide whether they're real or if they're fake. So what we're going to do is we're going to do it by raise your hands which one you think. So we'll go ahead and get with the first one. How many of you think that this Christmas tree is real? Raise your hand. How many of you think that this tree is fake? Raise your hand. And the answer is, it is a real tree. Okay, now to the next one. Real or fake? How many of you think it's real? How many of you think it's fake? Man, some people aren't playing. Or they just can't tell if it's real or fake. And the answer is, it's fake. All right, next one. Real or fake? How many of you think it is real? How many of you think it's fake? The answer is, it is a real tree. And the next one. Real or fake? How many of you think it's real? How many of you think it's fake? And the verdict is, it is a fake tree. And for the last one, how many of you think that this tree is real? How many of you think that this tree is fake? Man, that's unanimous. And the answer is, you're all wrong, it's fake. So, the last few weeks, we've been going through our series, Unwrapping the Names of Jesus. And the reason for that game will make sense in a little bit. So, the first week of this series, Pastor Evan unwrapped the name, the Lion of Judah. And then last week, Pastor Michael spoke and unwrapped the name, the Arm of the Lord. So this week, like the other weeks, I need a volunteer. Someone who wants to open a present. Let's have Nolan do it. Faith, you did one a couple weeks ago. Okay, give Nolan a hand. And we have the Root of David. Has anyone ever heard of that name before? The Root of David. Before Pastor Evan read his passage a few weeks ago, I've never really heard of it either. It's actually such an obscure name that it is only mentioned twice in all of the Bible. And both times are in Revelation. So now, that tree game might start making a little bit more sense. Tree, root, no? Okay. So we're going to be taking a look at the name, the Root of David. So let's start with a simple question. What is a root? Well, Webster's defines root as the usually underground part of a seed plant body that originates usually from a hypocotyl, functions as an organ of absorption, aeration, and food storage, or as a means of anchorage and support, and differs from a stem, especially in lacking nodes, buds, and leaves. That is a mouthful. Basically, it's the part of the plant that keeps it strong and keeps it where it's at, gives it its nutrients, keeps it alive. The stronger the root system, the stronger the plant. The weaker the root system, the weaker the plant. So my next question for you, does anyone know what the oldest tree is and how old the tree is? Do we have anyone that did Pee Wee Bible Quiz? No one did Pee Wee Bible Quiz? Because the way I worded that question would kind of give it away. The name of the tree is the Methuselah tree. So there's a picture of the Methuselah tree. So the reason I said it gave it away is because in Pee Wee Bible Quiz, there was a question, who was the oldest man and how long did he live? And the answer was Methuselah. So this tree is a Briscone pine tree located in the White Mountains, California. Any guesses on how old you think this tree is? Over 3,000. Any other guesses? 10,000? It's almost 5,000 years old and is actually considered to be the oldest living thing on earth. Think about the root system that that tree would have to stay alive in California through the droughts, through fires, through storms, for almost 5,000 years. So now that we've been talking about some trees, let's get into the root of David. So if you want to go ahead and turn to Revelation, we're going to be starting in chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 5. So starting in verse 1, it says, "Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David.'" Everyone say, "root of David." "The root of David has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals." Now go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 22. Verse 16. This is going to be the only other verse in the Bible that mentions the root of David. In the Old Testament, you'll see the root of Jesse, but these are the only times he's ever referred to as the root of David. So in verse 16 of Revelation 22, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star." So in the first passage, we have one of the elders referring to Jesus as the root of David. And then we jump forward in Revelation 22, and Jesus himself is calling himself the root of David. I don't know about you, but that kind of puts a different weight on this name to me. How many of you have a nickname that someone else calls you that you don't even call yourself? It's pretty common. But how many of you call yourselves your name? Like, "I'm Nate," or "Liz," "Paul." How many of you ever referred to yourself as your name? No one refers to themselves as their names. So when you call yourself your own name, you're owning that name. That name means something to you. So it's different when someone else calls you a name, but when you yourself call yourself a name, it puts a little bit more weight on that name. And here in Revelation 22, Jesus is calling himself the root of David. So let's back it up a little bit. Well, actually, let me ask you this question. What name do you think is said the most in the Bible? Jesus. It's mentioned 990 times. What do you think is the second most mentioned name in the Bible? David. With 983. 983 times David's name is mentioned in the Bible. Almost as many times as Jesus. So what is so important about David that he's mentioned so much in the Bible and that Jesus calls himself the root of David. So let's take a look at David's life and see how we can tie this name in. So we have David, this little shepherd boy, rolling around in the pastures, looking after his sheep, singing songs, living his life. This guy named Samuel comes along, and his dad pulls all the boys except for David into the house. Samuel looks at all of them and is like, nah, none of these are the next king. Do you have anyone else? And he's like, yeah, I got this kid named David out there, but he's nothing. Well, bring him in. So he brings in David, and he's like, yeah, that's the king. So David, this little shepherd boy no one thinks about, comes over and is now named the king. And then time goes on. This big Philistine named Goliath comes along, comes into the picture, starts challenging and taunting the Israelites. No one's brave enough to stand up to him. David comes along and is like, hey, who is that dude? And why are you guys scared of him? So David then steps up, grabs some stones in his sling, throws one at Goliath's head, knocks him over, defeats the Goliath. Everyone goes crazy. Everyone sings songs about David. David starts serving Saul, the king at the time, becomes best friends with his son, Jonathan. Everyone starts loving David more and more. Then Saul becomes jealous. Saul becomes jealous of David and decides, I'm going to kill him. Word gets to David. David takes off running from Saul. Saul chases him back and forth. And then eventually Saul dies, and David is now the king of Israel. So that's like a quick little summary of David's life. But one thing that is always at the center or the root of his life is his relationship with God. God influenced everything that David did, every single decision that David made. So much so that in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, it says that God called David a man after my heart and will do all my will. A man after God's own heart who will do whatever God wants. So how are we able to get to that same place and have God be our root? The root of Nolan, the root of Liz, the root of Faith. How can God be our root? Well, the answer is kind of easy. Put him at the center of your life. Have every decision be based off of what he wants, right? Real simple, easy answer, easy to follow. I mean, it's an easy answer, but it's not easy to follow. It's a lot easier said than done. Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to be taking a look at the parable of the sower. But we're going to kind of be taking a look at it a little differently than what you might normally see. So starting in verse 1, the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into the boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. He told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up. Since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun arose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So I don't know about you, but whenever I hear this passage, like in sermons or anything like that, it's always mentioned with evangelism, spreading God's word. But instead of taking a look at the sower in this passage, we're going to be taking a look at the seeds. So we have seeds that were scattered along a path. We have seeds that were scattered on rocky ground, some that are among thorns, and some on good soil. So the first thing that we can kind of see from this passage is it matters where we place our roots. Where our roots grow matter. And we need to make sure that we place our roots in God. We look at this parable, there's three different outcomes for the roots. No roots, those that fell in the thorns, those that fell on the ground, on the path. Shallow roots, those that fell in the rocky soil. And good roots, deep roots, those that fell on good soil. When we look at the Methuselah tree, it would not have lasted long if it had shallow roots. Those roots have to go deep to be able to get the nutrients, to be able to get the water that it needs to be able to survive almost 5,000 years. I mentioned this earlier, the deeper the roots, the stronger the plant. The shallower the roots, the weaker the plant. And we're able to see this in verses 5 and 6. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. When rough and tough times come, it shows us how deep our roots are. When we have those troubling times in life, when we don't know what to do, it can be very easy to turn our back on God when we think, well, God's not helping me, why should I be there? But if we look at David, even when he was being chased to be killed, he still focused on God and his plan and his will. 1 Samuel 24, verses 5 through 6. And afterward, David's heart struck him because he had cut off a corner of Saul's robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed." David understood who Saul was. He understood where Saul stood in God's plan, and that God did have a plan for Saul. How many of you in David's situation would say that you would be able to turn away from a chance to possibly end running for your life like David did? I don't think I would. If I was running, if I was in David's shoes, I would look at the situation and be like, man, I am in a really, really tough time. And I have this chance to end it. I have this chance to make it out of here. And I would probably take it. But David understood what God's will was. In verse 5, and afterwards David's heart struck him. God gave David a little check in his heart saying, hey, this is not what you're supposed to do. This is not my plan for this situation. And because David was so close with God, he felt that tug on his heart, that check, and he was able to follow it. This kind of trust and dependence on God does not come overnight. It's not something that's easy. It's not something that just comes naturally. When we look at David's life, even when he was young in the fields, what was he doing? Praising God, spending time with him in the fields as he was tending his sheep. David, from a young age, understood the importance of that relationship with God. And it didn't just stop when he was young. He continued to grow and to nurture that relationship. And that brings us to our next point. We need to tend to our roots. tending to your crops isn't just something that happens overnight. It's not just something that you plant the seed, give it some water, and the next day you have a full harvest. When I was planning for this, one story that came to mind is when I was younger, I had a packet of carrot seeds. And outside my window was our backyard, and we had like a patio and then like this dirt area where my mom had some plants. And I planted some carrots in that area. Every single day, I kept checking back. I kept looking to see the progress on the carrots. Day after day, nothing, nothing, nothing. And then one day, saw a little sprout pop up. And I'm like, yes, this carrot's almost done. It's almost ready. Gave it a little bit longer, what felt like forever, but really probably this whole thing lasted probably about 2 weeks. And I'm like, oh man, this is going to be the biggest carrot ever. I'm so ready for this carrot. So I go out there and I pull the carrot and it's like the size of a baby carrot. Not big at all. Not ready to be picked. I didn't take the time to let that carrot grow to its full potential. I didn't take the time to tend to that carrot's needs, to feed the carrot, to let it grow. That carrot had so much potential, but I cut it short. We need to constantly be tending to our roots. The funny thing about roots, especially with a tree, is the roots aren't necessarily always for that tree right then and there. Roots actually can live for up to 7 years after a tree has been cut down. And if you leave that stump there, a sprout can actually grow from that stump, and that tree can start to grow again. Up to 7 years later, depending on the root system that that tree has. When we look at David's life, David was told that his kingdom, his throne would last forever. And it went through his kids, his grandkids. It kept going for a while until this guy named Zedekiah ended David's throne, his family's throne. He was one of David's descendants, and David's tree was cut down right there. He lost his throne to the Persians. They overtook the Israelites. And there was not another king from David's line for the next 580 years. David's lineage was now one of poverty, one of struggling, not the royalty that David had. But because of David's roots in God, because of his relationship, how much he loved God and treasured what God wanted, a little sprout started to grow again. David's throne didn't end. It looked like it did. But David put in the groundwork to cultivate those roots that went deep and deep, where there were nutrients, where there was love, there was care. And that tree was still able to survive even though it was cut down. As we go back to Revelation 22, verse 16, I am the root and the descendant of David. Not only was he the root, but he is the descendant, the king who would reign forever. Through David, David's throne would last forever because from his lineage came Jesus. So this is a very interesting name to look at. I really didn't know what direction or what I was going to do with this name. But the more I studied this name, the more I studied David, it really showed how much power comes from this name that's only mentioned twice in the Bible. The root, the heart, the substance of David. It's very easy to overlook this name, just like David was overlooked in the beginning to be the king of Israel. But God doesn't care about what it looks on the outside. He doesn't care if there's a stump. He doesn't care if it's a big tree that's lived for 5,000 years. What God cares about is those roots underneath the ground and where those roots are. Are they on the rocky soil? Or are they deep rooted in God? God's will, his plan, his love. Because those are the roots that'll last. Those are the roots that will keep you going when it doesn't seem like there's any way out. Just like David, he hit trial after trial after trial, but he always returned to his roots in God. Our roots need to be in God, and we need to tend to our roots daily. As we go ahead and we sing this last song, I encourage you to ask God to give you this check. Where are your roots? Are your roots in the things that you've created, that you've done, your own accomplishments? Or are they in God? No matter what happens, your roots will be there. They'll be deep, ready to sprout up from a stump. God, we thank you for giving us this strength, for giving us this ability to be able to be rooted in you and this example that David has given us. God, I pray that we're able to take this example that David gave us and we're able to apply it into our own lives. That we're able to tend to our roots and make sure that they are firmly placed in you. God, help us to be able to make the sacrifices, to make the choices that are required to be able to do this. And Lord, as we sing this last song, I just pray that you help to set us on that path towards the roots that are deep in you.